This is Countdown to Kickoff on the Source 620 CKRM. In the stadium, on the field, and in the locker room, no one else brings you this level of access to Canada's team. We're live on air and streaming around the world at 620CKRM.com. Countdown to Kickoff starts now. Here's your host, Daniela Ponticelli.
Back from the bye and into the final four games of the regular season for your Saskatchewan Roughriders. I am Daniela Ponticelli here alongside the Professor Don Hewitt and Ryder Grey Cup champ Wes Cates for Countdown to Kickoff. Now, the green and white are back at IG Field, where last time they did not fare well, and of course they didn't feel well either. The stomach flu game, falling 54-20 in that Labor Day rematch. But this time, things are different. First of all, there was the bye, but no stomach flu, and Dan Clark is back at center. I'll ask Eddie Steele and Jeff Fairholme how they see Clark's return impacting the troubled O-line. Plus, Glenn Suter is back for Where Are They Now with Marcus Adams. And later on in this hour, we have Kyran Moore on the Mr. Lube hotline for profiles. It's a fun one. Plus, I'll ask Riders kicker Brett Lawther how the team is rallying for this final stretch. So from Rose and 12th in sunny downtown Regina, this is Countdown to Kickoff on Rider Radio 620. Seek to book.
Saskatchewan source for Canada's team. Countdown to Kickoff is brought to you by Bronc Beer, your perfect go-to game day beer. All natural, well-priced, and brewed in the prairies. Bronc, great bucking beer. And by Croft Electric. For all your home, farm, solar, and generators, call Croft Electric. Rider Radio, 620 CKRM.
Welcome back, Rider Nation. Oh, it feels so long since we've had a chance to get together. That bye week, it was nice. It feels like a lot has happened, though, since your Saskatchewan Roughriders fell to the worst team in the CFL. And now tonight, again, facing number one in the league, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Today is also National Day for Truth and Reconciliation. And as such, both the Riders and Blue Bombers, they will be coming together to recognize the day before and during the game. And we'll give you some of those details as well. I am Daniela Ponticelli alongside the Professor Don Hewitt and incredible Rider legend Wes Cates. Glad to be back with you. How was your bye weeks? Everything good in your world?
Yeah, I think it was pretty good. The weather warmed up.
I thought
the summer said bye-bye, and now we've had this nice little stretch for the last week, so that was a nice, perk.
And you, Don?
Very bad. I can't putt and I can't chip all of a sudden. I am just absolutely sucking on the golf course. And I needed some relief, so I came here.
Oh, I'm so glad! I'm so glad you showed
more
up for
alcohol.
Us today.
That's the answer to that.
No. Oh goodness, maybe. Let's enjoy this light feeling because we are heading into a big test once again for your Saskatchewan Riders, Rough Riders. As mentioned, they're 6-8 on the season, and they're still looking for that spot in the playoffs. Nothing is guaranteed. It is a tough stretch, as mentioned. Winnipeg tonight, next week it's Hamilton, also on the road. Then the final regular season home game comes after another bye. There's another break there, and that's against Calgary, and then they will trade off and head to Cowtown, if you will, to finish the regular season. All right, Don and Wes, why don't we dive into that? Let's talk about a playoff picture right now.
Well, the Rough Riders win three of their last four. They're in no matter what. Weirdly, if there's some tables run, they can still make the playoffs in the West. That won't happen. So Hamilton's two games behind Saskatchewan, of course, in wins. But if there's a tie, it, of course, goes to the East. So Saskatchewan has to have more wins than Hamilton. Right now, they've got two more. But, again, a tie goes to the East. So Hamilton's schedule, they're on a bye this week. They play Saskatchewan next week. That's a game I believe Saskatchewan has to win. Then they've got Ottawa twice in Calgary. So Saskatchewan, of course, you just went over their record. So if we assume that Hamilton's going to beat a very struggling Ottawa Red Black team in those two games, then right now, if you give them those two games, they are in the playoffs. Mm. A win tonight in Winnipeg would be huge for Saskatchewan.
Of course, yeah.
If Saskatchewan loses the next two games, the way I figure it out, They'd have to sweep Calgary and hope for a little bit of help to make the playoffs. That's the way I look at it. So, I mean, you know, it's still in their own hands, Wes.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
To win the playoffs. But we don't know what we're going to see tonight after what I thought 2 weeks ago was one of the worst Saskatchewan Roughrider games I've seen in years. So, you know, it's interesting what they're going to do. I mean, Mike O'Shea, after that terrible loss Winnipeg had in Hamilton 2 weeks ago, he said, you know what? We still know who we are. That's what he said after that loss in Hamilton, which was their worst loss, the most points they've given up, I believe, since 2015. He said, we still know who we are. Wes, do the Saskatchewan Roughriders know who they are?
I'd have to say no right now. I think we've been asking that question and bouncing back and forth, and even, you know, talking to Coach Dickinson in post-game, it just doesn't seem like they do really understand who they are. Maybe they can answer some questions and get some things together, or they have over this bye week. But these next 2 weeks are so crucial, like you said, Dodd, really, especially the Hamilton game.
Yeah.
Because that's basically 2 points in favor of one or the other. And these are the two teams that are basically battling for the last playoff spot. It would be huge for the Riders to step into this game and win against Winnipeg. But from what we've seen, some of the things they've been dealing with, Winnipeg's had its issues. I was surprised to see Hamilton take it to them like that.
Yeah.
Which really makes me even more worried about the Riders having to face Hamilton next week. But worried about this week, you just want to see the Riders come in, make it competitive, keep it close, and maybe find a way to win at the end of the game, because we're kind of kidding ourselves, or anybody is, if they're thinking going into this game that Winnipeg's not a big favorite. And so,
of course,
really, it is still in the Riders' hands. And if they can come out surprised today, definitely have to get that game against Hamilton, then maybe, you know, a couple, they don't have to beat Calgary twice, but
They got to do a lot of winning.
They've got to do a lot of winning these last few weeks.
What's interesting is what the Rider coaches saw in Hamilton and the way they beat Winnipeg and all they can learn from that.
That's,
I mean,
so
Winnipeg can secure a home playoff game with a win tonight, so they're playing for something. But, I mean, how much do you think that could help Daniela? How much is that going to help Saskatchewan and seeing what might have been a blueprint possibly to beat Winnipeg?
Oh, I think that's so valuable. Yes, any chance that you're able to review that film and see where there might be some cracks, where there might be something to exploit. And let's not forget, the Labor Day Classic was a 2018, a very close matchup there. And that is an important distinction. One thing, though, is noting, of course, that there was the Edmonton game prior to the bye, and we can't completely forget that that game happened. And there were Don and Wes, I don't know how you feel, I was mostly taken aback by, it wasn't obviously just the O-line, there were cracks in the defense.
Yeah.
And that was the thing that we've always been, you know, so proud of and basically lay our stake on.
It's tough because as a player, when you're watching that, I'm like, are these guys playing a little defeated right now? Or are they just really just tired? It's been a longer season for the defense. It was kind of tough for me to watch and really understand what I was seeing. It was definitely troubling to see that going into a bye, knowing how critical that game was to just keep the Riders' hopes up to make it to the playoffs, at least fairly easily. Now you're looking at it like, we got to scratch and claw and get some big wins against some good teams down the stretch just to have a chance at it. I mean, if I was just a betting man and had no skin in the game, didn't have any favorites in this situation, I wouldn't be putting any money on the Riders right now. Let's put it that way.
And what sort of, to me, sort of was an example of the Roughrider defense. And unfortunately, they don't have Lanier back. They thought
but
he's not back. That doesn't help. But it was Mike Edom, who's a pretty good safety.
Yes.
Now, he had a bad game in Winnipeg. He might have had the flu, so let's just scratch that. I thought he had a real bad game again against the Elks 2 weeks ago. I'm wondering what's going on, but he's back. I'm hoping the real Mike Edom shows up. But certainly, as we all know, I mean, Saskatchewan has to tackle.
Yep.
Do a much better job of tackling. Winnipeg likes running the football. And we'll talk about the issues that Saskatchewan will have running the football probably later in the show. But we need to see, you know, sort of that intensity that they did show on defense in the Labor Day Classic. Because overall, If the team can play with the intensity they played at in the Labor Day Classic, they should be in a competitive football game today.
Yeah. In their minds, they got to know they can compete, and they have the proof on film.
Yes, they do.
To know that they can compete. Mm-hmm. So it's just about getting that message across, having everybody buy in, and going out there and execute.
Well, when Brett Lawther joins us later on in the show, kicking it with Brett Lawther, that happens in the second hour. I'll be asking him as well about the boos from the home crowd, because that was the other big turning point in that Elks game. People, the fans made it very known that they were not liking what they were seeing. Daniela Ponticelli with the Professor Don Hewitt and Wes Cates. We have a few more minutes. Let's talk about who's in and out before we head to the Mr. Lube hotline with Eddie Steele. One of the big ones, I mentioned it right off the top, center Dan Clark. We haven't had him in the lineup since week two. What an incredible return for him. I know some fans were surprised, but he always said he was going to come back before the end of the regular season. So this is an important stretch to have back the center. Are we feeling that that's going to be a nice significant shift, Don?
I think so, because, I mean, if you take a look at last year, 2021, the two best offensive linemen on the Rough Riders were Dan Clark and Logan Ferland.
Mm-hmm.
And in 22, it's the same thing, except they're the two best linemen on this team, except Dan hasn't played since, as you said, Daniela, since game two in Edmonton. So you got Vaughn back too. So you got center on left. They're much better on the offensive line. Plus, they don't have Jackson Jeffcoat to worry about either, because he's out for Winnipeg, which is a little bit of a break for Saskatchewan. So a lot of criticism, and rightfully so, about the Saskatchewan offensive line this year. It's you know, their sack record is unbelievably bad. Criticism to Jeremy O'Day. But the thing that we forget is, you know, they haven't been healthy on the offensive line all year. And when you think about Richardson playing right tackle, and he's playing pretty good, I would say this is the best offensive line that they've played with this season tonight.
So excited.
Definitely on paper. I mean, I would love to see the D-line get Lanier back, but I guess that's not going to happen this game. But as far as on the offensive side of the ball, I do want to see kind of what Dan Clark does early. Coming off of an injury like that, you're just not going to be as strong. Simple as that. And if he has any residual pain or any weakness, how is that going to affect his play and his effectiveness? I think the biggest help he's going to be is maybe just the upfront communication. But I don't know if the O-line was already communicating well enough without him. I want to see if some of that pass pro protection cleans up with Dan in there. Maybe he's a little better at identifying the fronts earlier and getting guys ready to, you know, take on whatever blitzes and stunts are going to come their way. So that's going to be interesting. The most interesting thing for me to watch is if they're going to clean up pass pro.
And also, we have to be, and I know Don touched on this, you have to also give a little bit of room, especially in the early parts of this game, for some readjusting, because Dan hasn't been in CFL game play since week two, but he has gone through injuries before. We know that, surviving a pretty awful car crash and coming back. So he has taken stretches of time off, regrouped, come back even stronger. And I'll never forget the very next game when I saw Dan, and the first thing he said was, "Mentally, I'm already there. I'm already back on the field." So that's a great sign, and that was the week after. I'm Daniela Ponticelli here with Wes Cates and Don Hewitt. We are broadcasting live from Harvard Studios at the corner of Rose and 12th in beautiful Regina, Saskatchewan. The leaves are turning, and it's just so nice and warm outside. A perfect day for football here, but your Riders are playing in Winnipeg at IG Field. And right now, we have Eddie Steele standing by on the Mr. Lube hotline to dive into this third and final regular season meeting of the Riders and the Blue Bombers.
They say most games are decided in the trenches. Countdown to Kickoff on 620 CKRM continues as we break down today's battles with Grey Cup champion and former Riders defensive tackle Eddie Steele. It's in the trenches for Karst Holdings, Integra Tire Assiniboia, your trusted tire experts serving Southern Saskatchewan for over 25 years. Call 306-642-5557.
One of the biggest challenges for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders on the field is what's happening in the trenches. And it's not just the O-line that needs a bit of cleaning up. I'm happy now to have Eddie Steele back after the bye to dive into this. Welcome, Eddie.
Good evening, Daniela. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, Eddie. Great to have you here. So Eddie Steele is a former defensive lineman for the Rough Riders and a Grey Cup champ with Edmonton before that. Eddie, this is it now. The final four games, no playoff spot secured for the Riders yet. And while we talked about the O-line at length, there were some rough patches on the defense in that loss to Edmonton 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, absolutely. Edmonton really was able to move the ball a couple of weeks back pretty easily and efficiently, but more so on the ground is where Edmonton had a ton of success. And typically that hasn't been the case for this Riders defense. So they really need to shore that up. And I'm sure the coaches went over the game plan and the tape from the last game, and they're going to make sure they don't come out and make the same repeated mistakes. But Winnipeg's coming, and we all know what Winnipeg's bread and butter is. And their bread and butter is on the run game, in the run game, and pounding that rock on the ground with a dominant offensive line. So the Rough Riders, they really need to show up in Winnipeg, and they need to put their foot down and end that run game early and make Winnipeg live in second and long situations.
We are in the trenches with Eddie Steele on the Mr. Lube hotline. Dan Clark is back at center. It really feels like such a long stretch. Week two of the season was when he was injured in Edmonton. Are you expecting this to make a significant difference tonight?
Yeah, first of all, kudos to Dan Clark. When I was a teammate of his, he was in a big car accident, and he came back from that. And I've seen this guy overcome so many types of nicks and bruises and injuries, and he's just one flat-out tough dude. So for him to come back, I wasn't expecting to see him play this season. So that's I just want to say it's amazing to see him out on the field. As a difference maker, yeah, it'll help to some degree. It's not like he's going to come back and all of a sudden the offensive line is going to become a Winnipeg-type offensive line where they're just dominant. There's still a lot of holes elsewhere. But it's always good to have your leader, captain, and the centerpiece who's making out the calls and who's in charge of getting guys lined up and where they need to go. So having that back and just having that calming presence of the experience and the leadership of Dan Clark is going to be soothing on the sideline for the guys.
Eddie, who would you say is the greatest strength in the trenches right now for the Riders? That could be on the O-line or on the defense.
Now, who, meaning which player or which
position? Yeah, which player?
Probably Pete Robertson, I would have to say, in terms of consistency. AC Leonard, he always shows flashes. That's what he does. And going back for 5-6 years ago, it's the same story. He'll flash, and then he's quiet for a few games, and he flashes again. So I would say probably Pete Robertson. But yeah, it's on the offensive line, it's been really it's tough to pick out anybody because it's been so porous and it's been a revolving door. So if anyone in the trenches, I would say it's been Pete Robertson. He's had a really good season despite being injured as well.
Eddie Steele with me on the Mr. Lube hotline. Saskatchewan, of course, back tonight in Winnipeg to close out the 3-game regular season series with the Blue Bombers. Last time they met at IG Field, Eddie, it was more IV Field with the stomach virus going through the team. So let's go back to maybe the much more competitive defeat, unfortunately, at the Labor Day Classic 2018. How does a troubled O-line then manage this Bombers defense tonight?
That's such a good word you said, manage, because I don't see the Riders O-line in their offense beating Winnipeg, but it's a matter of limiting what Winnipeg does to you. And now when I say I don't see them beating them, what I'm saying is I'm not predicting the Riders lose. I'm just not predicting their offense going up, moving the ball, putting up 28, 30 points. But you have to be able to limit the negative plays. In Winnipeg, their strength is their front four on defense, and we know that's the weakness of the Riders. So you have to limit the sacks. You have to limit the second and longs. And if you can live in second and mediums and some manageable situations, then you'll be okay. But you can't live in those second and longs, especially when we've seen how Fajardo's just been getting sacked back there. Teams have been teeing off on him, and you got to get away from that. Now, shout out to my boy, too, Keenan LaFrance, getting the start. This is huge, you know, Winnipeg boy going back home, getting one of his rare few starts that he's had in the CFL. And whenever he does get the starts, he typically has some good success. So I'm really excited to see how Keenan LaFrance comes out and balls out tonight.
In the trenches with Eddie Steele here on the Mr. Lube Hotline. Eddie, it is clear that this is the Riders team we have, right? We talked about this even a few weeks ago. What is your grade assessment then of Saskatchewan heading into the final four games of the regular season?
I would say on field, it's been disappointing. They started strong and they have really regressed. I don't know how many they've lost out of their second half of games, but they've probably lost like, what, 6 of 8 or something like that, I would imagine. So I would probably say a C-plus at this point in time because they are a better team than what they've showed. And then all the off-field incidents, I've never seen an organization like Edmonton was bad last year when I said what I said about the team, but I think this Riders team, this version, has even more off-field distractions than that Edmonton club did last year. So it's so tough. You take the off-field distractions combined with the on-field product, that probably bumps the grade down even further. But in terms of strictly on-field, I would probably say a C-plus because they are nowhere where they want to be. And I would say if you ask anybody in that locker room, anyone in that organization, this has been a disappointment thus far.
Well, as always, I appreciate your honesty, your insight. Thanks so much for joining me today, Eddie.
Thank you. Go Riders.
Eddie Steele joining me for In the Trenches here on the Mr. Lube Hotline. Get fast, warranty-approved, top-to-bottom maintenance at any of the four Mr. Lube Regina locations. Coming up in 3 minutes, Glenn Suter is in to catch up with Ryder Grey Cup champion Marcus Adams for a new edition of Where Are They Now? I'm Daniela Ponticelli, and this is Countdown to Kickoff on Ryder Radio 620 CK.
49.
The Countdown to Kickoff is on with Ryder Radio 620 CKRM. Now, we check in with the players, coaches, movers, and shakers who helped build Canada's league. It's Where Are They Now with Glenn Suter, brought to you by Capital GMC, proud vehicle provider for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. We drive Ryder Nation.
It's the Where Are They Now segment, and we're finally getting down into the nitty-gritty part of the game. I mean, we're getting down to where the game is won and lost, right down in the trenches, because our guest in this segment is Marcus Chunky Adams. And before I go anywhere, Marcus, first, thank you for joining us, and we can get a chance to reminisce a little bit. But also, I want to start right out of the gate with, did Chunky bug you as a nickname?
I would say probably the first couple of days I was like, what are y'all talking about? So I'd say probably the first couple of days, but after that I was like, I gotta embrace it, whatever.
Well, because it is, right? I mean, at the end of the day, whether you're crazy about it at the beginning or not, I mean, mine was Pup, which I hated when I was a rookie and loved later when I was an old guy. You get a nickname, it's sort of a term of endearment. You're now part of the squad all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, it came about my third or fourth day of camp from Andre Brown, a defensive end, and when he said it, I was like, well, I guess I'm part of the team now a little bit. You know, people are looking at me, and they see me, so I kind of felt good about it, but at the same time, I was like, what name is Chunky? Like, what? But I love it now, though. I love it now. So, yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. I appreciate it. Saskatchewan Rough Rider fans are listening in right now. Tell us about the transition that you made when you came to Canada and the transition to playing Canadian football.
I knew nothing about CFL, really. I mean, my oldest brother tried out for the Toronto Argonauts back in 93, mm-hmm. as a DB. That's as much as I knew about it. But when I got there, it was funny. When I first signed the contract, I never heard Saskatchewan. I was like, what'd that say? I had no idea. So I looked it up. I Googled it, looked it up, and it was like in May. It was like 17 degrees. I was like, Mom, it is 17 degrees up there in May. I said, I'm going to freeze to death. Like, what? So I had no idea about that. But when I got there, it felt like a place I can call home for a while. It felt very homey. And people there are very nice, of course. And they was very passionate about football, as I found out the first day of rookie camp. We had fans in the stands. I was like, what are they doing? It's like, man, this is how it is around here. So to me, man, transitioning up there was very easy. I knew I had to really, I couldn't bring my American attitude there. People there are so nice. So I couldn't be I didn't have to be a tough guy there, I should say.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, tell us where you are now and what you're up to now. I know you're coaching.
I'm in Spearfish, South Dakota. It's about 20 minutes from Sturgis, so which is, you know, that's a fun time. But no, I'm the D-line coach up here at Black Hills State University. I still live in Phoenix, Arizona, though, so with my wife. So no, I just got here. I got hired on here in May, so I've been here ever since May.
So three Grey Cup appearances. Did I Google search that correctly? Because I had to, yep. I had to catch up. Now I knew there was a couple, and one of them were one of them was the 09 game. Have you? I got to bring it up. You know, I got to bring it up, Marcus. Because have you exercised that demon, or is that going to be with you forever?
That's forever. I think about that at least once a day. I can't lie. I think about it all the time, at least once a day. I think about it every day.
Wow.
And I always say, you know, I won one, gave one away, and lost one.
Yeah,
that's my record. So yeah, so that's what I say. But 09 really, that still hurts when I see the top 10 Grey Cup plays top 10 Grey Cup games ever. So. And we're number one.
Yeah, you know what? I know Rider fans right now listening are going, okay, enough about that. Let's move on to the 07 game. Was that best memory? Must be. Championship season.
That's the best memory of enjoyment, I should say. But I would say the best, it's weird, the best memory for me is the 09 and 2010 teams.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I thought those teams were, I thought we were close. And I mean, we had the most fun. You know, we had Coach Etcheverry as our DC. And I love Etch. I love his defensive scheme. So, but it just brought our team that much closer together. I don't know what it was, but those 2 years were my favorite years. But of course, winning the Grey Cup, my favorite moment.
Right. That's a good point. Yeah. Good way to say it. Yeah.
Those 2 years where I knew I had the backing of the front office and the coaching staff.
Speaking of coaching staff, I think Ken Miller was your OC in 07 and then became your head coach. Yeah. We're going to have Ken Miller on one of these segments as well. And what can you tell me about him as a coach, as a head coach?
First of all, I want to say Coach Miller cut me.
It happens to everybody, doesn't it?
This is what Brendan Taman told me after the 2010 season. In 2010 season, he said, hey, it's not my decision, it's Miller's. I was like, okay, it's fine, whatever. But no, Coach Miller, man, he was a breath of fresh air from Coach Austin. He was more, you know, he's more understanding, more relaxed, more fun, I should say. He really cared about us as a person instead of just as a player. So I really enjoy having Coach Miller around, because he was very refreshing and very caring, I should say.
You as a coach now, are you more like Coach Miller or more like Coach Austin?
More like Coach Miller.
Yeah.
I'm very, I'm demanding, but at the same time, I let the players know that I care about them as a person and not just as a player. So, you know, I try to make them feel relaxed and, you know, joke with them a little bit and, you know, make them know that I'm here for them as a coach and as a mentor and as a, you know, if I have a person you want to talk to about your personal problems, you know, I should say a psychologist, something like that. I'm here for that too. So I try to make the players feel welcome, you know, just all around, period.
You get a chance to, if you could go back and get a chance to Marcus Adams, the coach, talk to Marcus Adams, the player, what would the coach say to the player?
Wow. I would really say don't think too much.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was my biggest, it's funny to say this, but every day of practice, every training camp, every game, I was a nervous wreck. Cause I didn't know if I was getting cut, traded, or whatever. You know what I mean? I thought so much because, you know, we had the Tillman era where a lot of NFL guys came in and started. So, you know, that's what I would tell myself. Stop thinking and just play.
Yeah, you know, I've been asking that question to wrap up a lot of these segments with guys because it's interesting to me how it's a very similar answer. You know, relax, enjoy the moment. Apply yourself, but enjoy the moment. So we got about a minute left. There's a lot of kids. There's a lot of young kids, young defensive linemen. Listen to this show right now. They're on their way to the Ryder game. They're excited about this. What's your word of advice? The championship game here in November will be right here in Regina this year. What would be your advice? You're a champion. You're a former champion. What's your advice to those kids that are trying to become one?
I would say never be satisfied. And until you hold that trophy up, you're never satisfied. And then when you hold that trophy up, about a week or two later, it's time to be back in grind mode for next season. Mm-hmm. Because once you get a taste of that being a champion, you want to be a champion every year. So I would say always strive for more and never be satisfied.
Fantastic. Marcus Chunky Adams with us on Where Are They Now? Good luck with your team, Marcus. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks a lot,
man. You know you're always welcome back in Saskatchewan anytime you want to come back. Thank you, sir.
Indian head.
The countdown to kickoff continues on The Source 620 CKRM. You've seen them on the field. Now we dig deep to bring you a closer look at a Riders player with info you'll never find on the stat sheet. This is Profiles for Borderland Co-op. You're at home here. Visit them in Moosomin or Whitewood right on the number one highway and online at borderlandcoop.com.
Been waiting for this one. It's Swerve himself, the new number four, Kyran Moore. Great to have you here for Profiles.
Oh, it was great. It's great to be here. I'm glad to be here.
Well, for anyone who doesn't know, you are just a ball of energy, okay? And you're also, I don't know if you're known for your dancing, but I have seen you dance a lot. If you had to assemble a dance crew made up entirely of Saskatchewan Rough Riders players, your teammates, who'd be on it? Let's just say pick three or five.
All right, I pick Duke for one. Duke got to be on there. Schaefer Baker, too. Oh, and Shaq. That's three right there. Charbel, because he's a dancing machine. And for the fifth one, I have to go Gary Johnson.
Okay, I like that. You said it with so much confidence that I am for sure believe that you guys are going to win whatever dance battle that you go out there with. Kyran Moore is with me here on the Mr. Lube Hotline for Profiles, where we get to know your Saskatchewan Rough Riders a little bit outside of the game, off the football field, if you will. But before we veer too much off that direction, Kyran, Swerve, when and how did that name stick for you?
I came in my rookie year in 2018, and we was in training camp in Saskatoon. That's when Deron Carter was here. And I used to just doing one-on-ones in practice and just, you know, making people miss. And he said, Coach Jones, his name's Swerve from now on. And it's like, from there on, it just stuck. It stuck. So it happened in 2018 training camp by Deron Carter. He the one who started it.
Oh, I love that story. And Swerve really has stuck. I mean, fans call you that now. It seems to be everyone gets it. And you, as you mentioned, you've been here since 2018 and you're from Bessemer Alabama originally. Mm-hmm. So what is the first thing, though, when you tell people about this province? What is the thing that jumps out to you? You're like, you got to know this about Saskatchewan.
For one, the fans, you know, fan base is just crazy. It's like there's nothing that I have ever experienced, you know. So that's number one, like first and foremost. Like when I was hurt, I used to like just go grocery shopping and fans would see me like, Swerve, how you feeling? You coming back soon? Like, it's just the love, you know, it make you feel wanted. So the fans are definitely family, treat you like family.
I'm here with Kyron Moore, number four now. So Kyron, we are getting now into cooler fall weather. What is your favorite season and why?
It's fall. I say fall only because my birthday is in the fall. My birthday is September 19th, so also it's football season. A lot of great things happening in the fall. It's not too cold and it's not too hot. But see, I'm from Alabama, so I love the heat. So it's really between summer and fall, but I say fall because of my birthday and that's when football being played.
Well, happy belated, Kyron. That's fantastic. I love that. Okay, celebrate your birthday during football season. Can't have it any better than that. Mm-hmm. Kyron Moore with me on the Mr. Lube hotline for this edition of Profiles. You've been with the Riders since 2018. Is there anything that you think fans would still be surprised to learn about you?
It's nothing that I can think of right now. I mean, because like when I'm on the field, like that's really all of me, you know, from the dancing, the talking, like, That's just me. And it's funny that you said that because fans all the time come up to me and say, Swerve, I can't wait to see your dance move, you know, after you score a touchdown or whatever. And I actually scored last game, and I've been working so hard on my celebration, they end up calling the flag and taking it back. So my next celebration, I got something in store for y'all.
And that was the celebration of the Labor Day rematch. Oh, what a bummer. But it seems, though, that not much bothers you, Kyron. So do you have any pet peeves? Like, if you had to pick one that you're like, ooh, that doesn't hit right.
For one, somebody trying to tell me about myself. Like, I cannot stand that. That's number one. The second one is had to be smacking. Like, when people be eating and they smack on food or I hear you chewing or drinking or it just,
no, it just gets under my skin. Ugh, so bad.
those are my top two for sure, though, for sure.
Okay, so there is something that gets under your skin a little bit. All right, well, Kyron Moore here today for Profiles. The Riders are on the road now to close out, well, on the road a lot to close out the season. Other than your phone, wallet, keys, what are three things that you never leave home without?
My AirPods, I have to listen to my music. Really, 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 that's it. As long as, because I can't go nowhere without my phone. Like, that's one of my pet peeves. Like, if it gets to 50%, I'm like, oh, I need to charge. That's too low. But with my phone and my AirPods, I'm good. That's really the only two. And it's so crazy, I forget my wallet a lot. That's crazy. But the AirPods and my phone, nah, I'm not never forgetting that.
No, those two things you have to have with you at all times.
Have to, like a must.
So then, what is your most used emoji if you're always on your phone? Are you an emoji guy, and what would it be? You can check if you need to.
It'll be the one, the little face where it's like melting into a smile. You know, yeah. So that's like that's the newest one. So that's my go-to. It's either that one or the little smirk, the one with the little smirk face, and the dancing man. They're my top three right there.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. I could have guessed that last one. So final words for Rider Nation, Kyron.
Thank you. Thank everybody for the support, continued support, you know, whether we're winning or losing, you know, whether y'all giving us, you know, praise and hard criticism. We love it all. We need it all. Y'all make us go, you know, so and I thank y'all for treating me like family. And when my mom and dad came up here last weekend, they didn't want to leave, you know. They said everything about the fans, even some of the Bomber fans, unfortunately. But everybody was treating them good, you know. So I really appreciate you for taking me in for all these years. And go Riders.
That's Riders wide receiver number four, Kyron Moore. Thank you so much for joining me here for Profiles.
Thank you for having me.
Well, coming up in 3 minutes will be another chance to talk all about growing the game right here in Saskatchewan. I'm Daniela Ponticelli. This is Countdown to Kickoff on Rider Radio 620.
They're is a proud history of football in this province and a bright future. As we continue our countdown to kickoff, let's take a look at the grassroots of the sport here in Saskatchewan. Time for Growing the Game, brought to you by Zipper Lock Building Company and Power Lift Doors. See them in Raymore or call 1-888-692-5515.
It was a busy summer for Emeray Dale. The linebacker represented Canada in the Women's World Tackle Championship. It was out in Vantaa, Finland. She was also involved in the U18's Women's Nationals, the first ever. It was held right here in Regina. Welcome, Emeray.
Hi, thank you so much.
I'm so glad we finally get to connect. I love what you're doing right now. You're a coordinator for women's and girls football with Football Saskatchewan. You're kind of taking care of the North. We will get to that. I want to go back to the summer and Vantaa, Finland. Take me through that experience for you and getting to be on a team so stacked with Saskatchewan talent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was, the experience was incredible. I think sometimes I'm still, you know, just grasping everything that happened because I just can't believe that it did happen, like finally, especially after such a long wait of 5 years. So it was very anticipated and it was exciting and honestly, so many emotions wrapped into one. It was obviously, it was kind of a bittersweet trip just because we didn't come out with the result that we obviously hoped for getting fourth, but it was incredible to see football growing for women throughout the world and not just like always Canada, USA, which is like what we typically hear. But so it was really cool to kind of see the talent that is growing and that, you know, because I think we're kind of in a bubble sometimes in North America, just thinking that it's just here. It's been like a lifelong dream of mine. And I know for a lot of my teammates as well. So it was a huge honor for sure.
I'm joined by Emeray Dale here on the Mr. Lube Hotline, talking all about growing the game, sharing a bit of Emeray's experience right now. And you were the first ever woman to play in the CJFL with the Saskatoon Hilltops. And I get chills thinking about that. It's an interesting spot to be in, but you just can't help but feel like I'm so excited that there's going to be more behind me.
Exactly. I was pretty lucky in terms of like usually, so because of my age with the Hilltops, I really only got like one full season with them. And for a lot of guys, when you're a fifth year, you're done. And that's kind of, you know, you move on unless you go to like U Sport or whatever other things. But for a lot of people, that's just kind of it. And I was really lucky that there's still more and there's still more coming. And especially with the rise of women's football throughout, you know, in these next coming years, there's still a lot more ahead. And it's really exciting and cool just to know that, like, yeah, there's still more left.
So let's talk about the growth of women's and girls football, especially here in Saskatchewan. I've heard from so many people, including members of the Saskatchewan Roughriders, who are blown away because from where they come from different parts of the U.S., it might not be as prevalent or they might not even be as exposed to seeing women's and girls programs just existing even. So to see the growth of that, let's talk about what right now, what opportunities are available for women and girls in considering the sport and getting involved on a number of different levels.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, I think having this U18 tournament in the summer was a huge stepping stone in terms of getting the sport to grow throughout the country. That I think is going to create some waves for sure in the South. And I'm sure Amy maybe already touched on this, our Southern rep, about how they have the PGFL, which is like a youth girl. So they're grade 7 to 12 right now, tackle football league. And we're hoping to kind of see that same sort of growth happening in the North. Lots of girls like from kindergarten to throughout high school are playing flag right now. And that's kind of always been our sort of big gateway from flag to Valkyries. And then of course, yes, you got the Valkyries and the Regina Riot in the WWCFL. And yeah, and we're just hoping to create more and more opportunities in all of the realms of touch, flag, and tackle. We're actually have some exciting things coming up in partnership with the Ryder Foundation in terms of just getting more exposure to more youth-aged girls, so like grades 5 to 8. We're going to have a camp in Saskatoon and a camp in Regina with both representatives from the Valkyries and the Riders, just to get more exposure to those girls and give them more opportunities to play, because sometimes there's just a lack of that opportunity. And it's an intimidating sport to just like walk onto. So hopefully having these little things to kind of, you know, create that exposure will help it grow.
Happy to be chatting Growing the Game with Emma Ray Dale. She's a coordinator of women and girls football with Football Saskatchewan. Emma, your background, though, your family is so into football. Tell me a bit about that and just growing up in the sport, because as you just said, with this youth age, you want to get that exposure. You want to get girls interested in the sport from an early age.
Yeah, I was really lucky to grow up in a very football enriched family, because if it weren't for that, I honestly don't know if I would have the same love for the game. And even I remember being in elementary school and like loving playing football with the boys at recess. Like there was just something about football that I always loved. Just every aspect of the game was so exhilarating and exciting. And I always went to every single one of my brothers' games growing up, all of their high school games. All four of them played throughout high school. And then my oldest two brothers went on to play Hilltops. And then both had very successful CIS then careers as well. With my oldest was with the Rams. And then my other brother went to play for the Thunderbirds and then back for the Huskies for his last couple years. So yeah, there's just something so special about it. It brings our family together, really. And it's honestly the ultimate team sport. And it's really a sport for everybody and anybody, especially tackle. And that's why I think that's why it's so important for girls of all age to be able to kind of experience that, at least have a different opportunity to give them at least a chance to play.
You mentioned it's for everybody and anybody. Another thing I want to ask you is the confidence piece. When you see, and I know you've probably felt it for yourself, but even if you've seen teammates, right, come in at a lower level and just build up, tell me about that progression, because I think that's such an important piece.
It's kind of like what I said before, like football is an intimidating sport. And like, that's why it's important to kind of get that exposure of just like, hey, it's like, it's okay. But I think it's just like with trying any new thing, you're not going to be great at it, you know, the first time you try it. Like, and I think it's kind of comes with that growth mindset and not a fixed mindset of like knowing that the more you do it, the better you're going to get. And it's always really cool to see like rookie players like come into their own of just always showing up and knowing that like you're always going to make yourself better than yesterday. It's not just a straight line up. It's always kind of you have your ups and downs. And but that's what makes it almost more beautiful.
I love talking growth mindset. I'm all here for it. Thank you, Emma Ray Dale. Just to wrap up now, where can people find more information?
Your best bet would to be going to the Football Saskatchewan website, but then also Instagram is a great one. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. There's usually a Facebook page for all of us, for Football Sask, Saskin Minor, Regina Minor, and you should be able to find something that will suit you or a loved one.
And you can also find ways to connect with coordinators just like Emma Ray Dale. Thank you so much for joining me today, talking about growing the game and remembering that football is for everybody and anybody. I love that.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Coming up in 3 minutes, I'll be joined by Rider legend Jeff Fairholme. We're going to talk all about moving the chains this week in Winnipeg. That's next. You're listening to Countdown to Kickoff on Rider Radio 620. Seek more.
He spent some time in the end zone and knows a thing or two about yak yards. So who will be today's breakout player on offense? It's Moving the Chains with former Rider great Jeff Fairholme. Brought to you by Capital Ford. With amazing deals on new and pre-owned vehicles, we drive Rider Nation.
It's been a tale of a troubled O-line this season for the Riders, but Jeff Fairholme, well, he has so much more to say after a week off to digest the current reality of this 2022 Saskatchewan Rough Riders team. Welcome back, Jeff.
Thanks, Danielle. Always happy to join you, and especially after a bye week. This is great.
Now, yes, you and I both took a week off from chatting on this segment, but I did get to see you out on the West Coast when the University of Regina Rams played and beat the UBC Thunderbirds 21-13. Just for a quick change of pace, what did you like about the offense in that game?
Well, you know, they have a great running game, obviously, and, you know, the quarterback, Pelche, I believe his name is, throws a really nice ball, and their offensive line could protect them too. So I think they have a good team. I'm looking forward to my next game to see them. Will be up in Saskatoon when they play University of Saskatchewan. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yes, that's when you'll be joining me up in the broadcast booth. Jeff Fairholme joining me now, though, here on the Mr. Lube Hotline for Moving the Chains. Okay, so back to CFL now. And part of the reason why I did ask you about the Rams offense is because I wanted that contrast. We know that this has been a troubled O-line. Some exciting changes this time, the biggest one being Dan Clark back at center.
100%. And, you know, I think it's going to help to stabilize the line a little bit. I think he's, and more importantly, you know, he's the leader on that O-line. He's a leader on the team, and that's what they're sorely missing. I've mentioned it before that to me, in every team I've been on, the leadership starts with the O-line. And having Dan back, I think, will certainly help that. I've had people ask me, they've said, well, Dan Clark's been around. He's been, you know, rehabbing and stuff. But I can tell you, as a pass player, you don't feel like you're part of the team when you're in the tub, so to speak. And that's, you know, having him back is going to give them a lift. And I hopefully, you know, having Vaughn back and Ferland back, you know, they can lean on that leadership. And I'm hoping that porous O-line will come together and play well down the stretch.
If I never have to hear the word porous again, I'll be so happy, Jeff.
I know. I'm so sorry to use that term. You know, I almost need to look at a thesaurus and get some different words, but I'm not that smart. So porous is all I've got.
And I say that obviously tongue in cheek, because that is the best description. If one thing's working, something isn't, and so on and so forth. Again, the tale of the season. Jeff Fairholme joining us this hour here. So the last time the Riders visited the Blue Bombers, that was the stomach flu game. So let's look back then at Labor Day instead, maybe as a better comparison. Sure. It was a 20-18 loss there. Is Saskatchewan just overthinking their game, Jeff?
Boy, that's a good question. You know, they might be. I think they've had so much drama throughout this year. I mean, I've never seen a team have so much drama throughout the year. And I hopefully over the bye week, they had a chance to look at themselves, forget the game film that was the last game here, look at the Edmonton Elks, and then look at the Labor Day game and say, you know what? That's a tale of two teams. Like, what's going on here? And, you know, I think, and I haven't prefaced this, I haven't spoken to anybody on the team, but this is my sense that the team is fractured. And I think that getting some key people back on offense, that we can play better, we can be more of the offense like we were in the first half, or at least the first quarter of that Labor Day game, and allow the defense to play fresh. We need to sustain some drives so the defense don't feel like they're on the field all the time and have to carry the team. They're tired, or we're tired. So I'm hoping that tonight's game, we'll see a whole different team. Fingers crossed.
This is Moving the Chains with Jeff Fairholme on the Mr. Lube Hotline. So, Jeff, talking about drama, what do you make of the rumor mill and Bo Levi Mitchell coming to Saskatchewan? ? Next season?
Yeah, I mean, it's rumor right now. And I'm hoping that the team is not listening to this. Certainly Fajardo, I mean, he's in the contract negotiation year as well. So I'm hoping that the team has shut the doors, shut off everything, and really just focusing on what they have to do. It's a rumor. You know, those people that don't like Cody Fajardo are all for Bo Levi Mitchell, and those that love Cody Fajardo are against Bo Levi Mitchell. That's going to be, it's going to be a big deal, and it may come down to the contract status of Cody. I mean, he may not even want to sign in Saskatchewan, who knows, but you know, we're going to need a quarterback, and whether it's going to be Cody Fajardo or Bo Levi Mitchell or Joe Blow out of the States, who knows at this point. I think I know one thing, that teams don't like to trade within their own conference during the season, especially with four or five games left. So I don't see it happening this year for sure. So, you know, forget it right now. Forget it. Put it aside. Focus on four games. Go win a few football games, and all this chatter will just stop.
Go win a few football games. I like that. But even just go play it. Just go focus on your job, right? First and foremost at the end of the day.
Yeah. We talked about this before, I think on several interviews in the past, where, you know, they had so much drama that sometimes going out on the field and being out of town will help a team. So I'm hoping that, you know, now that they're in Winnipeg, where I happen to be right now, but I'm leaving, but hopefully hopefully being out of town after a bye week, they can come together and play a better game and just put all this drama aside. My goodness.
And they do have a nice schedule. I've chatted with a number of players who are quite pleased that, yes, they just had this bye week, and then there's next week's game in Hamilton, and then another restful break before playing back-to-back with Calgary. So a nice schedule from here on out. So there's really not much in terms of the excuse pile. It has dwindled quite low. We are talking Moving the Chains with Jeff Fairholm on the Mr. Lube Hotline. Jeff, you were one of the first on the show to say, this is the Saskatchewan Rough Riders we have for 2022. Superman isn't coming. This is who you've got. How would you like to see this group manage themselves on the field and through these next three regular season games?
Yeah, you mentioned on the field. First of all, they got to get their act together off the field. That's number one. So we won't need to talk about it, but then you need to get their act together off the field. On the field, same thing. They need to keep the penalties down. So the stupid penalties cannot happen. And the technical penalties that we talk about have to stop as well. I've said in the past that, you know, the technical penalties are because they're just not good enough. So they need to stop that as well. I'd like to see them play a full 60 minutes.
Love to see it. Thank you, as always, Jeff, for joining me. We appreciate your honesty. I appreciate your honesty and your takes. Thanks again.
Let's hope for a Rider win this week, and you know, and then we'll talk again next week and we'll rehash it all.
Moving the Chains with Jeff Fairholm on the Mr. Lube Hotline. Always great getting his thoughts on offense and Moving the Chains. Don West, as we just heard, Jeff is hopeful about seeing a different team out on the field. That's because of some of those personnel changes. Now, some of that is going to affect the run game, namely Frankie Hixon not being in the lineup.
Right, and of course they had Sean Wilson in practice earlier this week as an American running back. Was supposed to be taking over from Hixon. Looked great in the first 2 days of practice. That's Monday and Tuesday. Towards the end of Tuesday, pulled his groin. And Wes, yeah, you were saying,
that's the that fresh legs.
And that, go ahead.
You got them fresh legs. You get to practice. You're running around feeling a little more spry than everybody. You're looking good. Then you try to open up and show guys how fast you are when you know you're not in shape. And then what was that? Something bit me.
And you know,
that's what happened.
Not in game shape too, right? Like that's the biggest difference, shape. Right? It's the reps and stuff. Wes Cates, the Professor Don Hewitt here.
So what that says though, you've got, you know, Wilson out, so you got Keenan LaFrance going in. He's from Winnipeg. He wants to do well, but he's only run the ball 3 times for 15 yards this year. So that this year, that gets you going to, okay, we know that the Rough Riders struggle to win if they can't run the ball. Mm-hmm. After this break, is Cody going to take off his knee brace and try to do some of the running for them?
Please, no. I'll come back to that, but okay. I wanted to say I feel so bad for Canadian running backs that back up American running backs because they never get a chance. It's like they're always bringing in the other, more Americans to just, it's like, oh, we're just really putting you there just in case two guys lose a leg in the game and we have nobody else. You know what I mean? There's always special teams guys, and that bugs me. Because I've seen LaFrance make plays, catch the ball in the backfield, run the ball, and he's a good athlete. So it kind of surprises me that they haven't let him get some touches and just kind of see if he can maybe, add a spark to the game. Why not? He's out there and he can give the guys some rest. But I am excited to see Mario Alford there as well.
Yes.
He's clearly one of the fastest guys in the league. Very instinctual as far as no gaps and spacing and when to turn it on, turn it off so that he can hit those gaps and take it the distance. So really excited. Hopefully they give him the ball and give him some touches. But back to Cody Fajardo, our running quarterback, who's kind of fast but not really, kind of elusive but not really, and seems to be taking some shots, unnecessary shots. I always thought you wanted to keep your quarterback safe and keep the hits off of him, but this guy takes hits all the time, every time he runs the ball, whether designed or not. Yeah. Seems like he's always taking some tough shots. So I really don't want to see him run. He doesn't excite me when he runs. I'm sorry. Like, he's a tough dude. He gets out of the pocket. He extends plays sometimes. And he goes and gets some tough first downs. And there's a time for that. But I don't want it designed in, not with this guy. He's just not as athletic as I feel like people are trying to make him out to be. He's like, if you think he's a running quarterback, I want somebody to put together a clip, you know, of about 10 to 20 plays to show me why. Because I don't really see it when I'm watching him.
Okay. I don't have the video to put that together. I can do the video editing, Don, if you find it.
I don't think there's 20 runs that Cody has where you're like, oh yeah, that's a running quarterback. Like,
he's in control. That's the biggest difference. Yeah. I think sometimes when you see him, it does. I don't know about you, but I get a feeling of panic, not a feeling of excitement when it comes to, as you said.
You know, you want to see guys hit the sideline, outrun the DN. Oh, here comes the secondary running up. Let me just tiptoe out of bounds and get off of the hit. No, he's like trying to scramble to the sidelines. Guys are coming up and still giving him a shot, knocking him out of bounds. And he doesn't really get down and slide when he knows he's kind of met his match. Two guys coming at him, he's still head first, kind of fighting yards. I would like to see my quarterback doing that.
I'm not really disagreeing with you, but I'm saying he does seem to do better when he can run. If you look at him from 2019 on, he's done better. I think on our post-game show later tonight, one way or the other, the running game is going to come up as to whatever happens in this football game. Yeah. I mean, Shaq Cooper just got signed today, I think for about the third or fourth time this season.
Yeah. Oh, is that the count you're going with?
I thought
Shaq looked good when he had his chances here.
Is it possible they got him to Winnipeg this fast because he doesn't know the playbook? And I mean, he's not on the depth chart.
He should know a decent. I mean, he might have forgot something, but yeah, I don't know.
We'll find out what Ballsy says.
If your answer is let's run more with Cody, I'm like, why? Like, and I do feel like Cody's a good athlete. I'm not saying he's slow. I'm just saying he's not fast. I'm not saying he's not elusive. He's just not that elusive. You know?
No, it's going to be very interesting.
Use your strengths and protect your quarterback. That's a big part of it.
Yeah, that's the biggest part. It'll be interesting if they actually will put Mario Alford in the backfield.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be great to watch.
There's nobody faster on the field than Mario Alford. Mm-hmm. I mean, that'll be interesting because I'm sure he'd like to give it a go.
And you know, something that we talked about in the break, obviously not on air, was just the credit that needs to be given to this special teams. And it has been a marked improvement because let's not forget, I can't remember who or what I was listening to this week, but someone said, oh yeah, special teams has always been great. No, when we started the season, special teams was a phase that was a problem as well. And then the addition of Mario Alford, in fact, it was after that horrible Montreal game that just didn't go very well for us.
Yeah.
That we were able to pick him up. So it's one of those things that I do think that there's been a marked improvement, but you were saying, Wes, that credit needs to be given here.
Yeah, for sure. Everybody was complaining about what Coach Dickinson wasn't doing right and wrong, and like you said, started off the season, oh, he's a special teams coach. Why is the special teams playing so bad, and we're getting returns on us, and we're field position and blah, blah, blah. And he's cleaned that up. You know, penalties have calmed down some. You get a good returner, get some blocking cleaned up. Now we're talking about breaking records for the most kickoff returns in a season and maybe returns overall. So I think a lot of credit needs to be given to Coach Dickinson for this turnaround and success in the special teams area.
And as we said, not including punt returns, but kickoff returns, Mario Alford has taken two to the house. If he takes three, it's a CFL record. That surprised me.
Yeah.
The three would be a CFL record, but that's only kickoff returns, and he can do it.
Exactly. It's tough. He's the only Saskatchewan Rough Rider to do it twice in one season.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't even start at the beginning of the season. So it just shows you can have an impact even if you, you know, miss a few games.
Maybe I meant a Rider record, not a CFL record.
Oh,
sorry.
Okay, well, we'll see.
Said there was two Gizmo did two back in the day, but that was the most.
The old professor might not have had his pencil sharp.
If there's anybody that just
broke a record. But anyway, write a record would be significant, and Wes's point is absolutely bang on. Mm-hmm. They've done a tremendous job of turning around special teams. They're not getting beaten on special teams. They just have to win one of offense and defense to get two out of three to win a ball game.
100%. Danielle Ponticelli here with Don Hewitt, Wes Cates. We have a few more minutes before we head to break, and then after that, Luke Mollander will be checking in with us from the broadcast booth in Winnipeg. Lots of off-field drama that, you know, sure, we can wade into it if we wanted to, but I just want to get your take, especially, we'll start with Wes, just as a former player. Again, does it affect you? Could it affect you when you consider how much off-field drama has been happening throughout the season? This isn't just the one-off. You know, at first, when it first started early on with, you know, pick a thing you wanted to talk about, it was like, okay, well, it's early. Oh, well, it's one thing. But now it seems like it's always something.
Yeah, I think it does really affect you. I mean, there's a couple of ways you can take it. As a player, you're just either one of those guys is really a team guy, and you're like, the guys that do that just annoy the heck out of you. And so you're kind of making that separation between the guys that think that's cool and the guys that think that's disrespectful and it shouldn't be a part of you know, just the team experience. Or you're one of those guys that kind of is cliquey and you're going to side with whoever's opinion you believe in, and it still causes you know, a little bit of a fissure or a splitting of the locker room. So at the end of the day, if you have guys going out there talking trash about the staff or just talking trash in general, and it's just not good PR, then there's going to be rifts in your locker room, and it just depends on how you address it. If you don't address it at all, best believe people are clicking up and talking trash. You know what I mean? Maybe like in groups, but it is going to, the best teams I've been a part of, everybody got along. The dudes that tried to buck the system, everybody as a group kind of straightened them out and was like, nah, we don't need any of that. And they fall into line because they want to be a part of a good team that's winning. So I think with the record they're having and the way things are going, it could go sideways real quick.
There's a lot of things at play. Like, you take a look at the two Saskatchewan teams that we've had, the team before Marino and the team after Marino, seem a bit different. I mean, they've only won one game. I'm talking about Saskatchewan in the second half of the season, 1-4. Why? Well, the first nine games, they were a plus 10 in the turnover ratio. So far in the second half of the season, they're minus 6.
Yep.
So they have been on a dive. We all know that. I mean, how much of that has been injuries? How much of that is possibly not as strong a dressing room? We always talk about, you know, how important it is to have a strong dressing room and the leaderships. Another thing too is just the play on the field with, say, the quarterbacks. I mean, the last four games against Winnipeg, McCody's thrown, I think, 5 picks, no touchdowns. He's had no touchdowns passes against Winnipeg this year, of course. In those last four games that Winnipeg's beaten Saskatchewan, Zach Claros has 9 touchdowns and 1 pick. He's got a passing efficiency of 133.5 to 70.3 for in his favor versus Cody. Of course, we've talked a lot about the offensive line. IG Field is a graveyard for Saskatchewan the last couple of years. They've just been getting killed there. I guess the only good news is they're 3-3 in the road and they're 3-5 at home. They're going to have a losing record at home. So maybe they're better off at IG Field, but they're getting killed there. There's so many things, you know, when a team is on a tailspin that are going wrong. Mm-hmm. And there's so many, you know, our job is to what's wrong. Well, there's so many different possibilities, it's almost endless.
The professor Don Hewitt, though, breaking it down for us, and of course, Rider legend Wes Cates here too. I'm Daniela Ponticelli, and we will be back in 3 minutes when we check in with Rider color analyst Luke Mollander inside the broadcast booth in Winnipeg, the graveyard, IG Field. I am Daniela Ponticelli. This is Countdown to Kickoff on Rider Radio 620.
It's time for Mollander's Matchup with Luke Mollander. Brought to you by Nelson Motors and Equipment, the farm family-owned John Deere dealer that covers southeastern Saskatchewan. Visit them online at nelsonmotors.com.
Yes, incredible Riders color analyst Luke Mollander will be joining us from the broadcast booth in Winnipeg in just a moment. But first, a reminder, today is National Truth and Reconciliation Day, and the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, along with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, will be doing some special pre-game commemorations at IG Field. So both teams will be wearing orange jerseys, and sideline staff will wear orange shirts today in support of the day, the national holiday. Just the second year we've had this on September 30th. And by the way, those orange jerseys will then be used for a raffle, which will help fund Indigenous sports programs in Saskatchewan, along with special events in Indigenous communities. So with that, now we bring in Luke Molander. Luke, have you had a chance to actually see these orange jerseys at all?
Yeah, a couple of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers are wearing them right now. I'm trying to figure out, if both teams are wearing the same color jerseys, how are we going to do this here, right? Like, are we just going on helmet color? Because to me, that would be a little bit confusing. But, obviously, teams are going to have the have a heightened sense of awareness. I mean, no excuses. You can't throw an interception and be like, well, everybody's wearing the same color jersey.
Well, from what I understand, the jerseys are just for the warm-ups, right? I believe.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure how this is going to go. I think it probably is.
Okay. But for right now, Luke Molander is just seeing a sea of orange out on the field. Okay, got you. First of all, we'll start with the simple one first. What are the conditions like in Winnipeg right now? What's the feeling at IG Field?
Oh, it's a beautiful day out here. This is a perfect day for football. It's nice and cool. The wind's not really blowing. I think that it's probably a bit of a change from the norm here this late into the year for the province of Manitoba. So again, it's beautiful. I think that they're going to have ideal conditions.
Okay, so that's one excuse off the table, bad weather. All right, Luke Molander, who do you have for your matchup, especially with some of these personnel changes that we have on the Riders' side?
Well, when you look at the overall game, there's a lot of things that have to go right for both teams, realistically. I don't think it's been talked about a lot, but the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, I mean, over the last five games, they've allowed 27 points per game. That's not like them. So when I look at the matchup, it's not necessarily a matchup per se. We've talked about Shaq Evans a lot over the last couple of weeks. I just really think that for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders today, someone's got to step up other than Shaq Evans, because you've got Keenan LaFrance. You know, Balzi and I were talking about Keenan's reps over the last few years. I mean, he hasn't played a major game of football for a few years now. So I think that he's going to be more of a pass protector in there today than anything. I think that there's a certain amount of pride and expectation that one has in that locker room on the defensive side of the ball for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And I think that they probably were asked to take the bye week off and really consider just how they went about their role in order to come out of that bye week and continue playing strong. Because this is a team that's a little bit older now, but they understand what it's going to take. They need to be playing at a high level if they're going to be going into the playoffs, if they're going to challenge for their third Grey Cup in a row. So I'm really looking at that. So I think it's going to be an interesting game today. I think that Richie Hall, knowing him, he's not going to necessarily focus in on the game plan when it comes to Shaq Evans, but I do think that someone other than Shaq has to step up today. And I don't mean like a few catches. I mean, someone's got to have over 110 yards today that's not named Shaq Evans, and I think that's the way the Saskatchewan Rough Riders are going to come out here on the end. Because I think Shaq's going to get his touches. What 110-plus yards means for somebody else, it means they finally found a way to let Cody throw the football. And Cody didn't get happy feet all the time. So, again, a lot of storylines, a lot of interest going on. But at the end of the day, it's a great day for football. It's a great day to celebrate the importance of the Indigenous culture and acknowledgement and reconciliation. But at the end of the day as well, for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, every single game is essentially a must win. I read today that they need to win 3 out of 4 to make the playoffs. And when you look at your next 3-4 games, you've got Winnipeg today. And that's the thing, like coming out of this bye week for the Bombers, like this is an important game for them. They can lock down home field advantage. I mean, a lot of people obviously assume that they've got it, but there's a lot of motivation going into today for the Bombers. Today, specifically, because then you look at maybe, resting some guys over the last couple weeks of the season. Not today, though. Today is a big game for them. So today you look at the Riders, and it's a huge uphill climb. And then you've got Hamilton. I really think that game next week in Hamilton is going to be a win, is a win-or-go-home game. I really do. I think that if the Riders in Hamilton, the Ticats, play on Friday, I think the playoff game The White Eastern playoff crossover is going to be on the line. Because then you've got Calgary twice, and that's nothing but trouble. They're playing at a high level. I would expect Calgary to challenge Winnipeg here for the West Final.
Luke Mullender joining us from IG Field, and I know Don Hewitt also had something to add.
Well, I was going to say later in the show, I agree with you totally, Luke, that they've got to get the ball more to Kyran Moore. Kyran Moore, so outstanding last year. The guy is a different kind of sort of receiver that they've got anywhere else in their lineup, and why aren't they getting the ball more? Does he have to get 100 yards for them to win this ballgame?
You know, I think that you're right. In some respect, Don, but again, it's one of those bottom line deals. When the ball goes to Kyran Moore, Kyran Moore's got to catch the football. And he can't be a guy, especially when you're relying on somebody else not named Shaq Evans. Everybody else, see, that's the thing. When you get sacked 22 times in the last four games, when you have problems moving the football, the opportunities you do get to have a first down, they need to be capitalized on because they don't happen a ton.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do go to Kyran Moore, right, and he's dropping easy first down big plays, I mean, that essentially, I mean, your trust dissipates. Right? And then you have to go back to Shaq Evans because the one thing you know is, hey, at least Shaq's going to catch the ball, right? So I do agree with you. I think they need to get Kyran Moore the football. A big part of the day, too, is using KSB out of the backfield.
Yes.
Like, I don't want to see that today. I want to see KSB used in actual offense from a slot or a wide receiver position.
Mm-hmm.
He's so easy to defend if he's in the backfield because they can't do a ton with
him. Yeah, and they got him back.
Flare routes or run. Yep.
They got him back outside, Luke, this year, it looks like. So maybe I thought he might be a good slot, but I agree with you totally. He's going to be a wide receiver, it looks like, on the boundary.
Got to be, because he is a guy.
No,
I mean, he's capable
side.
Of getting yaks. Yeah, so again, if Kyran Moore, I'm all for him getting more footballs, but he's got to catch the football. And you can't be inconsistent with it because, again, it goes down to, hey, the riders don't get in the position to string first downs together an awful lot. The ones you do, you have to capitalize on. That's the thing. Bad teams find a way to lose, right? And that's one of the reasons why the riders have lost, because they've had opportunities this year and they found ways to trick them off.
Yeah, Luke, again, thank you so much, as always, for your great insight and your matchup discussion today. Those yards after catch really are everything for the Riders, and we haven't really been able to see that happen in the last pair of games.
Guys.
Yeah, exactly. Thank
they
you so much. Thank
I'm
you.
I'm telling you, I understand it's my time to go, but I can't underscore this enough. This has to be a win. If the Riders get blown out today, if they lose by more than 10, this season is over. I can promise you that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that says it all. You know what? That says it all, Luke, because that's in this room here, that was the discussion we were having just off air, was this has to be a very competitive game. And I enjoy, or I appreciate rather, that you put that numerical value on it. If it's more than 10 that they lose, if they do lose, and if it's by more than 10.
Yeah, two scores, you're not competing. If you lose by two scores.
I was going to say, I don't know if Luke and I got mixed up. Maybe it was my fault. Schaefer Baker is back on the field side as a wide receiver. And I think Luke is right. This stuff up the middle is ridiculous. But I thought he'd be a better slot. I think I was wrong. He was a better slot for the first game. The rest of the time, I think he has done better wide side, outside. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's still leading the team in receiving yards. They've had a terrible year passing, but if he continues to lead the Rough Riders in receiving yards as a Canadian, he'd be the first one since Rob Bagg in 2014. But they've got to get, you know, Schaefer Baker the ball more, definitely, to win this ball game.
That's the Professor Don Hewitt. And again, on the line from Winnipeg, Luke Mullender. Thanks so much for joining us. All right, he is off and at it. He will be, of course, joining the voice of the Riders, Michael Ball, live from IG Field. The game gets started at 6 o'clock. The Rider Nation pregame show gets going at 5. So we are inching towards that. But next, coming up in 3 minutes, it's Kicking It with Brett Lawther. And I am going to ask him, well, about his performance in the last game, and unfortunately it wasn't his best, plus what it means to be booed by the home fans. I am Daniela Ponticelli. This is Countdown to Kickoff on Rider Radio 620 CKB
Harvest.
You're tuned to Countdown to Kickoff on The Source 620 CKRM. We've talked offense. We've talked defense. Now let's get a leg up on special teams. Time for Kicking It with Riders field goal specialist, Brett Lowther. Brought to you by Coors Light. Get ready to bring them out. Coors Light's chill all game long. Please enjoy their product responsibly.
It was a week off for your Riders and kicker, Brett Lowther. Happy now to be chatting again with Brett on the Mr. Lube Hotline. How was your bye week?
Oh, it was great. I got to go to town for half of it. Was up in the mountains and had a really good time and came back to get some work in and no complaints at all. I'm looking forward to the next one too, but also looking forward to get back out on the field.
We are kicking it with Brett Lowther on the Mr. Lube Hotline. Now, you just mentioned that final bye week. Yes, there will be another one in just 2 weeks' time. You also said you really liked the schedule, Brett, earlier on in the season. Are you still feeling that way?
Yeah, I mean, it was a tough grind. We knew the start of the season would be what it was, but the end for us and when you want to kind of get going, we're going to have some guys fresh and getting some guys back. So definitely no complaints with the two late bye weeks and then hopefully going into playoffs.
I'm here with Riders kicker Brett Lowther. Now, Brett, prior to the bye, you had a tough game against the Elks. I know how much you take that personally, that you strive for that perfection. So there were missed opportunities there. What did you learn from watching back that film?
Honestly, just first and foremost, like, I cost us the game, period. I mean, there was nothing really difficult to ask, and we leave 6 points out there. So that one definitely, that one sucked. But I mean, there's just some errors in the game. No one probably really notices, but one time we lined up completely wrong. We were on a half, and I was supposed to go half forward. I went half back. It kind of threw the whole operation off, and then another one just hit a pretty good ball, but a little offline. So you can't really do that in professional football, especially from those distances. So it's like I said, just looking forward to get back out there Friday and competing again and hopefully right some wrongs and can get a win over there in Winnipeg.
This is Saskatchewan's third and final regular season battle against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Last time at IG Field, it was a weird one, okay? The stomach flu was going around. Brett, what is the confidence level like tonight for you and the team?
It's like I keep saying. I mean, I know there's always a lot of stuff outside the team going on or whatever, but this locker room's great. I think we're 3-4 hours after practice. There's still a ton of guys playing games and sticking together in there. We played them a good one at home and then over there not so much, so hopefully get back on track being healthy this week and can go give them a good game. It's a tough place to win. I'm pretty sure we've only won over there actually the first game we ever played in 2018, so it's a good challenge for us, and it's kind of that time of year where there's no more excuses, and especially coming for myself. So it's like I keep saying, I'm just looking forward to Friday, hopefully get out there and be a difference maker in the game.
And this week, a little different for the Riders, getting a chance to practice at a different venue. I want you to talk about that, Brett. And it just seems like it was a nice change of pace with some really nice weather. What was practice like this week?
Yeah, it's like I said, we're definitely spoiled here at Mosaic with what we have in the facility. And it's a good change of pace to kind of get outside of it. Been at the U of R, which has been great all week. It's extremely windy over there, so it's really good practice because it's not sheltered at all. And I know the coach Dickey thought it, and his breakdown, and myself and some of the other guys, like, we honestly just probably had our best week of practice of the season, and everyone's just looking forward to go into Friday and hopefully put our best foot forward and come up with a win.
Brett Lowther joining me on the Mr. Lube Hotline. Well, the last time the team was at IG Field, special teams had some great moments. So other than a win tonight, Brett, what would some measures of success be for the Riders against, again, a very tough Winnipeg team?
Yeah, we have to dominate on specials for sure. I know Mary was trying to return another one like every time he gets out there. I have to be way better than last game and definitely got to go out there and win that phase of the game. And then obviously on offense and defense, those guys can do their thing. And hopefully we can just each control what we can control and come out of there with a win, because it'd be pretty big for us this time of year where we're at in the standings. And we kind of dug ourselves in this hole, and we got to dig ourselves out as well.
All right. Now listen, Rider Nation is very passionate and certainly made themselves heard that they weren't particularly pleased with things last home game. What message then do you have for the fans heading into these final four games of the regular season?
Just stick with us. They're a huge part of why we win and lose, especially at home. And I mean, I don't blame them one bit, especially with just talking with how I played. Like, it's professional football. It's like I said, if we're booed or whatever said, 99% of the time the fans here know what's going on, and they are right. So for me, everything was deserved, and especially with our record and the team we have, we definitely, I mean, it's no secret we've underperformed this year, but at the end of the day, we're not out of it yet. We haven't been eliminated from playoffs. We haven't lost a playoff game. I know when it's time to ride, time to roll, especially I've said it all year. I know we got a different group and been on a 13-5 win team, 12-6 win, 9-4 here. And honestly, this year, I know we have what it takes. We just got to finally show it and stop talking about it. So that's kind of been my message, is just like, let's put it on tape now and try to put it together these last 4 weeks and get hot at the right time. And I've been on two other teams that weren't even above 500 that went to Grey Cups, and everyone knows what it's like. They've seen other teams do it in the past, and that's what we're trying to do this year. We're just trying to take it one step at a time, get into the dance, and then get hot and go from there. And we have the guys in the locker room to do it. So I guess just stick with us, and I mean, hopefully we can get this figured out.
Hey, I appreciate your honesty. As always, it's a pleasure to kick it with you, Brett.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Riders kicker Brett Lawther joining me on the Mr. Lube Hotline. Get fast, warranty-approved, top-to-bottom maintenance at any of the four Mr. Lube Regina locations. Up next, Don, Wes, and I deliver our extra points before we throw to Winnipeg and your voice of the Riders, Michael Ball, ahead of a 6 o'clock kickoff at IG Field. I'm Daniela Ponticelli. This is Countdown to Kickoff on Rider Radio, 620 CKRM.
Be Harvest.
Saskatchewan source for Canada's team. Countdown to Kickoff is brought to you by Bronc Beer, your perfect go-to game day beer. All natural, well-priced, and brewed in the prairies. Bronc, great buckin' beer. And by Croft Electric. For all your home, farm, solar, and generators, call Croft Electric. Rider Radio, 620 CKRM.
We are rolling right along with Countdown to Kickoff. 6 o'clock in Winnipeg is when things will get going between your Saskatchewan Rough Riders and, for the third and final time this regular season, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers at IG Field. I am Daniela Ponticelli, here with Wes Cates, Don Hewitt, and our fantastic producer, Sean Kleisinger. Very grateful to him for keeping us on track and moving. We are now winding down here at 5 o'clock. The Rider Nation pregame show with the voice of the Riders, Michael Ball, will get going. And again, that is live from Winnipeg. So as we wind things down here, Don, Wes, we always have such great chats during the breaks. And one of the big things that we talked about was turnovers and sacks. And the fact of the matter is that that battle has not been going the way of the Riders.
Well, Winnipeg's beaten Saskatchewan four straight times, 12-4 for Winnipeg in turnovers. Saskatchewan sacks, they've allowed 14, Winnipeg only 4. Listen to this one. On Saskatchewan drives, if they don't allow a sack, they score a touchdown 18% of the time on a drive. If they allow a sack, they score a touchdown 4% of the time. But Wes, you agreed. Sacks and turnovers will be a big factor tonight.
Yeah, for sure. And considering that we've always relied on the defense to get turnovers, and that seems to be something they're struggling at right now, I feel like this team has always been led by the defense. So for the defense to be kind of hitting a slump or going through some woes, tribulations right now, is a little nerve-wracking, a little worrisome for me. But definitely have to clean up the sacks. I think some of it is going to be just with the O-line and their body language and run play, pass play. Yes. A lot of times if an old lineman's in a stance and he's rocking back and he's looking nervous and he's D-line's like, oh, this is going to be a pass. I'm not going to worry about my gap responsibility as much. I'm going to worry about getting this good move started so I can get this pass rush going and get to the QB. So I think maybe that's something that hopefully with this O-line kind of looking, I guess, as close to as how the coaches wanted it to look at the beginning of the season. You know, you have Clarkie back in there. Richardson's been a pleasant surprise. Mm-hmm. Vaughn's back over there. You know, Ferland's moved back over to guard. I think hopefully, I just don't expect it all to happen in one game, but I'm just like, please, Clarky, just make be the glue.
I know,
be the glue.
Be the savior. I mean, Wes, the other side to that is that we've heard from so many different players throughout this up and down stretch for the Riders that, oh, you know, people are going to be healthy later on. And, you know, just in time after the Labor Day weekend or for the Labor Day weekend, there was always that look forward mentality of that healthy squad will be back. Well, now is the time. Now is
for
the time.
O-line, yeah.
You have four. Yeah, good point, Don. Now you have your final four games of the regular season, and right now, still in your hands, the destiny of being in the playoffs.
Well, and Zach Kolaros is an absolute juggernaut.
Yes.
At home as the quarterback for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Since he's been in Winnipeg, he's only lost one game at home. He's 13-1 in his time with Winnipeg at home. 24 touchdown passes, 6 picks. I mean, we just hope that statistics are for losers. Because if you look at the stats, you wonder if Saskatchewan could win this game. I mean, Winnipeg leads the CFL in second down conversion rates at 57%. Saskatchewan is last in the league and second down conversion rates at 39%. Winnipeg's 46 touchdowns, number one. First downs, 314, number one. 109 first downs rushing, number one.
Good
points
Lord.
Allowed on defense, they're number one, 297. Saskatchewan's last in first downs gained passing. No surprise, 128. Average yards gained on first down. Saskatchewan last, 5.4 yards. But we've seen many times in a single football game, Wes, in one football game, especially in the playoffs, statistics are for losers.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't know. I feel like against your rival, I feel like these two teams are true rivals. I think that you kind of have to also even more so throw out history and stats. But history's a good tell. And I mean, the stats you're talking about, those aren't like things you kind of gloss over. There's a reason why they're number one in those statistical categories. But we're talking about the Bombers going up against the Riders D, not the Riders O. And I think the Riders defense is a defense that can't slow these guys down. So let's just hope they come and play their best ball. And then the offense plays complimentary football and put some points on the board against a tough Winnipeg D.
Right, well, Kolaros likes playing against Saskatchewan. Maybe there was something he didn't like when he was in Saskatchewan. He's sticking it to us, and he's sticking it to us good, folks. 8-3 versus the Riders. Cody's only 2-5 versus Winnipeg. Zach's got touchdown passes in 11 straight games. Craig Dickinson has had trouble with Winnipeg. So has everybody else. He's 2-5. Mike O'Shea, he didn't do well at the start of his head coaching career against Saskatchewan because Winnipeg wasn't doing that well. But now he's really righted that ship. He's 12-9 against Saskatchewan. So, I mean, there's so much pointing to the Bombers winning this football game. And let's hope it's all erased and it doesn't happen.
The Professor Don Hewitt, Wes Gates, myself, Danielle Ponticelli, we are now headed to the extra point.
Time for some final thoughts from the experts. Here's the extra point, brought to you by Fraser Tolmie, Member of Parliament for Moose Jaw Lake Central Lanigan, fighting for Saskatchewan in Ottawa.
Well, I'm going to keep mine short and sweet and simple. You've also heard this one before. It's like I keep going back in my notebook. I just really finally want to see a game where the Riders are competitive at their highest potential. Take that, whatever, however you want to take it. For each quarter, every single quarter, I want to see that fight. I want to see that basically playoff attitude right now. And ideally, that will lead to a W, but we know this is a very, very tough test. Wes.
I think I'm going to keep it where I usually am, always picking on the Riders about this O-line and the quarterback play. But really, I kind of want to expand on that, too, to include the running backs. But this offensive line with Dan Clark back needs to be stout and be more efficient in the pass game and be solid up front and get some push. I think it's almost a good thing to have two running backs back there that basically the defense doesn't really have a lot of film on, so maybe they'll throw them off and be a little change of pace that they're not really ready for. But Cody's got to be quick. Timing. He's got to get rid of the ball. He's got to get back to his drop, keep the ball high and ready to throw, and just let it go on time obviously your first read isn't always going to be open, but get to your second read. If the second read's not there, you got to be decisive and either throw it away or get some positive yards with his legs. Cody can run a little bit when the time calls for it, but I just don't want that to be part of the game plan.
Gotcha. Well, I got two, really. I'm going to put one as B, and that's, can DeBeer, Brown, and Christmas stop the run up the middle by Winnipeg? Saskatchewan's been stout most of the season, but you got a feeling inside of that defensive tackle spot with Lanier not playing, can they do it? And I'm going to go back to sort of the same sort of thinking of Daniela with what she said. In fact, when you said it, I thought of this. I thought in their last game against the Elks, the execution by Saskatchewan on both sides of the ball looked like it was in slow motion. It was actual slow motion.
Yes, it was.
Such poor execution. And so tonight, let's see if they can get some crisp, like Wes was saying, similar to what he's saying, let's get some crisp, fast, to-the-point execution and execute before the defender or the other side of the team, before Winnipeg can really react.
The professor, Don Hewitt, laying it all out there, along with Rider legend Wes Cates. I'm Daniela Ponticelli. We will be revisiting these extra points in the postgame show. Up next, though, the Rider Nation pregame show with the voice of the Riders, Michael Ball, and the best analyst in the biz, Luke Mullender. They'll be here after the game. Michael and Luke, well, they'll always chat with Riders head coach Craig Dickinson and all your stars of the game. Remember that, and then call in when Don, Wes, and I are back to take all your calls for the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable. Can't wait to hear from you then. On behalf of Wes, the professor, myself, and producer Sean Kleisinger, this has been Countdown to Kickoff on Rider Radio 620 CK.